I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
A couple years ago, this started to surface, even at some of the most prestigious colleges in America, say like Cornell. There's a piece at philly.com today, food pantries pop up on college campi for students struggling with hunger. And the piece goes through the number of colleges now that have food pantries and or telling students to try to get on food stamps. Now, the claim is the numbers grew after the recession. And here's the line. Here's the line about colleges. And college costs have continued to grow without matching growth in financial aid, leaving more students unable to afford everything. They talk about food insecurity. Now, look, you know my stance on this when we talk about the lunch shaming and everyone else. I don't want to see kids or college students be hungry, trying to pursue getting a college degree and all that. But these colleges, oh, you know what? Costs have gone up. They just keep on going up and up. Well, wait a minute. Who's deciding how much the costs go up? Who's decided what it costs to go to Cornell or Penn State or you name it? And then we're told, well, the food pantry, I sometimes think the food pantry is put out there as kind of something to galvanize and try to tell people that students are starving in order to go to college so that big college can continue to get more financial aid dollars, more money, more grants, more the whole thing. You'd think somebody would ask them, well, if students can't afford this because it's gotten so costly, that they have to turn to food pantries, and you're turning them toward food stamps. A few things. Maybe they can't afford to go to that particular college, right? Maybe they have to work another job. Maybe your costs are outrageous. Maybe you're a large part of the problem. How much does the average professor make, say, at a place like Cornell? Or fill in the blank college. Is that too much? Why are students hungry trying to keep up with these costs? Also, you have to go back to the students. Why are they going to a school they can't afford? Where are their parents in this? Aren't those the lines of defense rather than food pantries and everybody get on food stamps? And yet, make sure you pony up 50, 60, God knows what the highest point is in American colleges now. I've seen it with Cornell, Ivy League school. Students there who apparently can't afford it. Well, my God, but they have to go to this school. Their life is over if they don't go to Cornell. Is it? Is it over if they start a community college for a couple of years, then go to a four-year college? Phone lines are 855-839-1210. Who's responsible for this? They're trying to shock you and to say, my God, these students struggling, they're working hard, going to school, and they can't afford to pay for all this, so you have to come up with more tax dollars, more government aid, more money, because the cost of college just always has to continue to be more than inflation. It has to continue to rise. There's no doubt about it. Again, big article in the paper today, philly.com, food pantries pop up on college campuses for students struggling with hunger. Why is that? Why would that be? You're at a school where you can't afford to go, I guess, no matter what, your family, the help from the government, you working, if all those things are in play and it's still not enough, that you have to resort to food pantries and colleges putting out directives with students how to get food stamps. Has that ever occurred to them? Well, maybe you're charging too much if you want to lecture the rest of us with these food pantries. Is that a case in point that makes what big college is all about? All right, let's go to Debbie in media. Debbie, good morning.
Yes, good morning. So the college students who are eligible for this food stamp are typically students who are they're claimed independent from their parents. They're paying for their own college education, and typically, you know, they've qualified for some type of state grant to go to that school. So, I mean, truly, these are students who are of need, and, you know, with that grant application, you have to be academically able to participate, so you have to be a good academic.
Well, wait a minute. They're of need from whom, then? Why are they of need?
Well, their parents are not subsidizing them, so they are going to college on their own dime, whether they are just out of school or maybe they're an older young adult.
Okay, so they can't afford to go to this school, Debbie. Who should pay for it then?
Well, they're going to the school, but they then applied for grants to be able to...
Debbie, I'm asking you a simple question, though. Who should pay for this then?
The way I look at it is, in order to go to school, you should be able to use any means possible. If that means that the state is paying for part of it, why not? Why not get?
Well, because maybe you can't afford to go to this school of choice. Isn't that what it's telling you? Isn't a responsibility on you and your parents to go to a school that you can afford?
But Dom, not all schools offer all curriculums that you know people would like to get. So if you've qualified and you know and you're admitted into Cornell, which is a great achievement, and you're able to get grants to go to that school and qualify for food stamps, why not?
Because you can't afford it.
But the school wants you, and you want to go to that school.
Okay, well then wait a minute. Then the school. Okay, then Debbie, the school, if they want you that much, ought to give you a big break then, right, from their ungodly tuition.
But typically they are doing that. There are probably some type of, again, they're probably getting grants from the school, and they probably, in order to get that food stamp, you have to be eligible for a state.
All right, so we have to subsidize somebody in one way or another, I want to be clear, to go to a school like Cornell.
If I don't have parents that can pay for my food and food stamps will get me the food for me to go to college, again, why not?
Wait a minute. Nobody's saying anything about going to college. We're saying go to an Ivy League school. Go to Cornell.
And if I wanted to pursue a degree that Cornell offers me and I was accepted there, why not?
All right. For the simple reason we've been round and round, Debbie, answering that, the why not is... colleges are never going to stop charging outrageous amounts unless their supply is cut, unless all these reasons and rationales. So it doesn't occur to them, in talking about food pantries and all the rest, and encouraging students, this has gone on the last 4 or 5 years, to get on food stamps, that the cost of American college, particularly some of the more outrageous, is completely out of line. 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. You just push #1210 and we'll get you on board. So is Debbie right? Well, you know, you got to go to Cornell. Cornell wants you to come there. You can't come anywhere near affording this. And yet you rely on food pantries / food stamps and God knows what. And we put it out there. America's struggling college students. The bottom line says then there's not enough being done in financial aid. I contend there's not enough being done by the student, by the parent, but most of all, by big college. How dare they posture in this way? Does that make any sense? When we're already into a mode with a lot of people, I'm saddened by some of this, but I get it, that college is growing more extraneous as far as its worth, its value, on a regular basis. Let me go to Grace in Cheltenham. Hey, Grace, good morning.
Hello, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, Grace. Thank you.
So I wanted to comment because we're talking about Cornell, and I have a friend who's a freshman in Cornell, and she said she is actually on a full scholarship that is purely need-based. she said, as long as your parents make less than $60,000, the school gives you everything as long as you're accepted. So this is an interesting discussion you're having right now.
Well, I don't know. I have the literature. Cornell has been doing this for a number of years. They're not in this article, where they're encouraging students to get food stamps.
No, I did not talk to her about that, but she did say she received a 100% need-based scholarship that covered for all of her expenses, and that's how she was able to go there.
Well, I'm glad for her, but a great number of college students, apparently, Grace, are unable to do that.
I understand.
So, you know, I'm glad that they did something for her based upon what they perceived to be as need. But doesn't it come back to this? Isn't this where this drives some of the resentment? And I'm usually more in the camp of defending a college education. I still do. But not to this degree. Not to this degree where we're going to be held up again by people saying we're not making enough. We're not giving enough. Let's go to Tony in Chestnut Hill on Talk Radio 1210. Hello, Tony.
Hi, Dom. How are you?
Good, Tony.
I got a couple quick points I think is a way to address the issue. The schools have huge billions of dollars in their endowment funds.
Harvard well, to be true, that you're right. Probably University of Penn, last I saw, has a billion plus. Harvard, God knows how many billions plus.
Harvard was $30 billion. Penn State, which is a state school, is between $10 and $15 billion. Here's what I'm suggesting we do is either start taxing their endowments and have the funds returned to pay off student loans is one suggestion. The other suggestion is tie tuition to family income. In other words, if you make, say, tuition is $10,000 a year, but your family income is under $50,000 a year, you get 50% off.
I don't know that I would do that. Now, I'm
Why?
A little bit suspect. Because then what about the people listening right now who are working hard? They're not going to fall into the levels that you're setting up. Let's say the family income.
Wait, you let me finish, Tom.
Okay, go ahead.
One level.
Go ahead.
I would make it a graduated level based on family income. And if you're making $300,000 a year, to pick a number, you can afford to pay college. But if you're making 50 to 100.
I think this strikes me as socialism. No, I'm not in favor of it. Yeah, it is.
No, John.
It
is. Absolutely not.
It is.
Absolutely not. No, it's not.
No, I don't see it addressing the problem. The problem is it costs too much for everybody.
Okay, so how are you going to get them to lower their costs?
Well, because. I'll answer you.
You've got to tax their endowments. You've got to take the money out of their pocket.
Well, the endowments, I'm in agreement with, Tony, but I'm not going to take one person over another and start with all these tiers and all their. No, I'm not going to do that. The other thing you do is we're not going to give as much in financial aid and the like toward college. This is what they're positioning for. There's not enough in financial aid toward doing this. There are certain schools you're not going to afford to be able to go to. Doesn't it come to that? You have to pick a more affordable school. And even those that I used to think were relatively middle-of-the-road schools are outrageous also. Why does it cost so much to go to college? It's fraudulent. It shouldn't cost what it costs today. And there are a lot of people, well, one of the reasons is they have a monopoly, meaning they have various boards. There's one on the East Coast. It's a major one. And they set the requirements of what you have to have in order to be deemed a college, an accredited college. Well, many of the things are unnecessary. In other words, you could do bare bones colleges and you would be able to drive down cost and give people a choice. The other colleges don't like that. They have a game going on where with this sort of monopoly, they can continue to drive up cost. So they're not going to come down very much to entice people. Because they don't have to. Let's go to Kathy in the Northeast on Talk Radio 1210. Hi, Kath.
Hi, Dom. How you doing today?
Good.
Good. I have to add something before I say. When we filled out the FAFSA forms for aid, of course we get the letter back. You can get $0.00.
Right.
So, anyway, my son went to Westchester, and they have a food plan. And that was included. They wanted you to take the food plan. Well, that's included, put in your tuition, and also rolled into your student loans.
Okay.
So if they're taking out a student loan, why not go and get your food plan? You don't have to be asking for food from a food bank.
I'm not sure why I can't, answer you. I do know, Kathy, though, that you hear a tuition cost, then you hear stuff like student activity fees or technology fees, and they just keep on adding on, and you wonder what the tuition covers. Some of this is in the summertime. That's what they're saying with this. But I do know this continues during the school year. So you're right. Why, if there's a food plan, are people not taking advantage? I can't give a full answer to that. Why would people still be hungry then if they do have a food plan? 855-839-1210. And I'm usually the person who's on the side of this wave. And I get why the wave is out there. College costs too much. They're indoctrinating. They're out of control. And I usually think I was first in my family to go to college. I'm usually the defender of some of this. Not everybody wants to go to a trade school or something like that. College has its place. But big college is out of control. And this notion that students are just starving and we're not doing anything about it, how about starting with the colleges then? Does it really cost that much to go to? Should it really cost that much? Now, I'm the usual defender. If you want to go to college, it suits you. You have a career path. I think it's a good thing, life-altering thing. I get the cost and the indoctrination. But I do get angry when I see food pantries pop up on college campuses for students struggling with hunger. And I see food stamps being billed, and I see no responsibility in here. Colleges just talk about, well, things are going to go up. They say that Temple are exploring creating a food meal voucher program for students who could not afford food. Well, who pays for that? Why is that going on? I would much rather that schools look at lowering what the rate of tuition might be. A one-time increase of 0.5% in meal plan costs last year netted $30,000 for the program, assisting 44 students at Chippensburg. You know, just never do we see colleges say, you know what, the cost of tuition, we're going to push back by 1% or 2% next year. Can you imagine? Or 2% or 3%. Nope, can't happen. All right, Seth is in Haynesport. He's on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Seth.
Hi, Don. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Good. I just had to comment. Having putting three kids through college and not getting one dime of aid, I understand that. And no one would argue that someone who's from a low socioeconomical background that raises to the top in these failing schools doesn't deserve a hand up. It's not a handout. But I know for a fact, in my crowd alone, I know parents who disenfranchise their children, who send them to these big-name schools. They easily could afford it, paying for them.
Mm-hmm.
They disenfranchise them. They get into schools. Now, on paper, they appear indigent, on paper. Okay? And they're good students. So we got what we have here is people of means gaming the system.
Yeah, well, or a lot of people going to school. I mean, that's one part, Seth. I don't doubt you on that. But what about the notion maybe you can't afford to go to a Cornell? I mean, is there anything where we say if you sort of qualify for that, then societally we have to pay for you to go to Cornell, whatever Cornell wants to charge?
A complete absurdity.
Yes.
I mean, what's wrong with community college for a couple of years and then going into another four-year college in a state school?
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's absurd, you know, but it's just the way our society is now.
I agree, and I thank you for that comment on about the disenfranchising, because I often ask when I see this, where are the parents? They're not backing their kid up. They're fine with their kid going on food stamps or whatever. Are all the parents indigent? It seemed to be middle class or middle to lower middle class, and they're saying, well, you know, thank God for the pantries and food stamps that are there as we go to college. And then, with all this going on, people come out of college with outrageous debt that's going to be on their head for X number of years. What's the source of all this? The source of it are what colleges are charging. That's what the source of it is. There's no other source of this. So if you choose to go to one of these colleges, that are charging this. You're betting on the cachet of that Cornell piece of paper is going to do X? Is it really? Is that a faulty idea? All right, Charles is in Downingtown. He's next on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Charles. Yo, Charles. No, Charles. Gone once, gone twice. All right, let's go to Bruce and Hatboro on Talk Radio 1210. Good Monday, Bruce. Hi.
Hi, Don. How you doing?
Good.
Listen, Temple University and University of Chicago have developed a business plan that, unfortunately, it may go viral. They accept students without requiring an SAT, as long as they graduated high school, even with a GED, regardless of their ability or academic ability. If they stay in for maybe one, two, three semesters, flunk out, they get the student loans, the schools get the money, and then the taxpayers are on the hook for paying it off.
Well, I know that Temple, Temple went that way because they were saying they weren't getting enough kids from the city, and they're a city and urban university. You're right. You avoid the SATs, and you are asking for a lot of people who can't function without a lot of support as a freshman in college. They can't meet the requirements.
Well, I was amazed that University of Chicago picked up on that now.
I have to look that one up, Bruce. I haven't seen the University of Chicago because that is really surprising. That is a much touted school. But how does it get to this point where you see stories, and I haven't seen any recently until I saw this one today, food pantries pop up on college campuses, particularly over the summertime they're talking about. The assistant director of financial aid at Westchester says that we're hitting a point where something has to change, who created the university's resource pantry for food, winter and professional clothes, and toiletries. So maybe then, I don't know the tuition of Westchester at this point. I'd have to look Westchester up. Maybe then you have people that can't afford to go to that school or not being helped enough by their parents, by whatever age you're giving, and working. Well, maybe they can't afford to go there. Well, something's wrong with that. All right, where is it wrong? What is it that is unaffordable? The tuition. Who's charging the tuition? The college system. Let's go to Steve in Maryland, Talk Radio 1210. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Dom. How you doing?
Good.
Cool. Hey, I just had one graduate, and I got one who's in college right now.
Right.
And one thing I wanted to do first was challenge that lady from media to show us a program, an area of study at Cornell that no other college in the country has.
Yeah, I should have said that. I was on to the broader point. You're exactly right. It would be very, very rare, almost impossibly rare. And again, if you're saying, well, we're going to have a society, Steve, what would you rebut if she said, well, you're going to have a society where rich people are going to go to the, quote, better schools, meaning the piece of paper has more cachet and the poor kids are not? What would you say to that?
You just walked right into my point.
Okay.
My son went to a school. It was a very small, private engineering geek school. They had no nonsense classes at all. Just about everything was in his program. And their cost was within $1,000 of what the state school was a year. They had no dorm there. They had very few students, maybe 500 students. There was an apartment building there. Everybody was responsible for their own food. They went to the grocery store. They ate what they could afford.
What's the school, Steve? What was the name of the school?
It's a little place in Maryland called Capital Technology University.
Boy, that sounds like an interesting school. Capital Technology University, CTU. And what is the mascot? Do they have one?
They don't have a sports team.
Okay.
They had a intramural frisbee club was about the only sports thing they had.
with engineering people, oh my God.
Oh, it's total geek school. But,
well, you're right, though, Steve. That's the point I was making. There's a monopoly here. They set certain standards of the number of books and yada, yada, yada you have to have to be the accredited sort of college. A lot of places could be much more cut rate. Now, you wouldn't have the amenities and all the rest of it. True, but you'd get a college education.
And I'll tell you what, my kid walked out of school. 2 weeks later, he had a job in his field at a rate of pay that is mind-blowing.
Well, that is good parenting on your part. That's exactly, and good work by him. That's exactly what should be going on. Let's go to Bob in Trenton on Talk Radio 1210. Hi, Bob.
Tom, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, Bob.
Here's a perfect example of where government is not involved and prices, they don't skyrocket, they're competitive, and it's in the medical field. It's cosmetic surgery for facelifts. And here's another thing about these colleges. If the government was not involved and these colleges had to compete for the children to get to come to their college, then the salaries, they would work like a business. They wouldn't be getting the outrageous salaries. And when times are bad, there would be layoffs just like a damn business would do.
Well, that is a great point. And I think you're right. It's your point. It's hard to believe, but something like plastic surgery, I don't think has gone up. If anything, it stayed the same, right? Or maybe even come down a little bit. To your point about competition, this is what Betsy DeVos is trying to do in the education department. And for that, she's under fire because, Bob, this disrupts everything in America. You go after college in this way, this is like the scene in Network. You're into uncharted territory now.
Well, the students can do this on their own. If everybody were to just take one college and boycott it for a year, trust me, they would be down on their knees and they would be running like a business. They'd be figure a way how to get these people back.
Well, the more competitive it is always, the better it is. The root of this, the change that DeVos or Trump should talk about, bringing, I know Trump's got a million balls in the air, and that is the monopoly. And what does it take to be accredited to be a college? Do you really have to have, I'd have to look up what the one organization says. I've had on Senator Mike Lee on this. Guy's a brilliant guy. He would be great on the Supreme Court. But Lee mentions this and has written about this. Do you really need X number of books? I don't know if it's 20,000 or not. Maybe you don't have a library like that. Maybe a lot of it's online. By the way, if you looked at the cost of what a textbook costs now and how monopolistic that field is, it's incredible. So people then have to do various schemes through Amazon and renting and doing all kinds of things to maneuver around that. But why does a textbook cost that amount of money? How has it gotten to that point? Patrick in Gloucester County's next. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, how are you, Don?
Good.
So it really disappoints me to listen that we're even considering giving these kids food stamps and toiletries. I moved out when I was 16 years old due to some family issues, and I supported myself. And some of my best memories in life are stealing toilet paper from McDonald's. And
wait a minute. I gotta mention that as a way to cut the cost of college. Yeah.
And eating ramen noodle soup and things like that. And it builds character, and it makes you appreciate what you have. And these kids are going to college. It's not going to—they're not going to suffer to not gain that freshman 15 and starve a little and be hungry and work hard and earn what they get. I just can't stand this mentality of handouts in our country.
Well, someone who—can I challenge someone who's stealing toilet paper from Walmart of all places? I thought you were going to say, you know, higher. I got the higher quality. No, I took the cut rate. And ramen noodles, okay.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.